بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So today is the 27th day of Ramadan in the year 1443 Hijra, and continuing with our series on the importance of Tawheed, looking at the importance of Tawheed from many different angles. In today's reminder, we are going to look at how the prophets, the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal, used to fear for themselves and for their people shirk. They used to fear shirk, falling into shirk upon themselves and upon their people. And similarly, we see something similar from the Salaf, from the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we are going to look at some of the texts from the Quran and from the Sunnah which indicate this, which is the fear of the most righteous, the most guided of mankind, meaning the prophets and messengers, that they feared for themselves falling into shirk and being put to trial with idols. And so we start with the verse in Surah Ibrahim in which Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَ كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ فَمَنْ تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَنْ عَسَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. So here is the statement of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said, Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, when Ibrahim said, O my Lord, make this city to be secure, make this city to be safe and secure, and protect me and my offspring from that we should worship idols. O my Lord, indeed they, meaning the idols, have misguided many amongst mankind. So whoever follows me, then he is of me, and whoever disobeys me, then indeed you are all forgiving and merciful. Regarding this verse and the statement of Ibrahim alayhi salam, وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ, protect me and my offspring from that we should worship idols. Ibrahim al-Taymi, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the Salaf, he used to say, مَنْ يَأْمَنْ مِنَ الْبَلَاءِ بَعْدَ خَلِيلِ اللَّهِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ, who feel safe from being put to trial after the intimate friend of Allah, the Khalil of Allah, the intimate friend of Allah, Ibrahim. So who after Ibrahim can feel safe from trial with shirk, if this is Ibrahim alayhi salam? Commenting upon this, Shaykh Muhammad Taqiyuddin Al-Hilali, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said, he's commenting upon the statement of Ibrahim Al-Taymi, rahimahullah, and he says, how excellent, how wonderful is what this Imam has said, and how great is him speaking the truth, and how great is his, you know, his understanding. Meaning the statement of Ibrahim, Ibrahim al-Taymi, rahimahullah ta'ala, speaking about the statement of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And so Sheikh al-Hilali, rahimahullah, he says, if you were to say to a man amongst the Muslims today, and likewise amongst many of those who claim that they are scholars, If you were to say to them, I ask Allah, as'alullah, an yahfadhaka wa walidayka wa dhurriyatik min ibadatil asnam. If you were to say to a man today, I ask Allah to protect you and your father and your parents and your offspring from the worship of idols. لَغَضِبَ غَضَبًا شَدِيدًا. This man would become very, very angry with you. And he would think that you are reviling him. وَظَنَّ أَنَّكَ تَصُبُّهُ. He will think that you are reviling him by making this dua for him. And, you know, he would... And if he didn't revile you and didn't beat you, then he might say, are you doubting my Islam? هَلْ أَنْتَ شَاكٌ فِي إِسْلَامِ وَإِسْلَامِ وَالِدِي وَذُرِّيَّتِي. Are you doubting my Islam and the Islam of my parents and the Islam of my offspring? وَنَحْنُ نَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَنُصَلِّي وَنُحَجْ وَنُؤَدِّي الزَّكَاةِ وَنَصُومُ رَمَضَانَ وَنَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Right, so this is how he would respond to you. He would say, are you doubting my Islam and my parents' Islam and my children's Islam? Yet we pray, we testify to La ilaha illallah, and we fast and we go to Hajj and we give the zakah and so on and so forth. And so he would respond like this to you if you were to make dua for him that Allah protects him from that he should worship idols and likewise his parents and his offspring. So he will say to you the likes of this speech, and then he might even say, as Sheikh Al-Hilali says, that he might even say to you, abandon this creed of the Wahhabis that you are following, right? You know, in his response. And the Sheikh says, فَيُقَالُ لَهُ هَلْ كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَحَّابِيًّا حِينَ دَعَى بِهَذَا الدُّعَى. So you say to him, was Ibrahim alayhi salam a Wahhabi when he made this supplication? When he made this supplication, oh my Lord, protect me and my offspring from that we should worship idols. So was Ibrahim alayhi salam a Wahhabi who feared for himself, you know, shirk and being put to trial with idols? So the Shaykh says, so O Muwahid, you know, O you who is a Muwahid, who is a follower, who guides himself, you know, by this truth, be patient, indeed the promise of Allah is true. So this here now indicates a number of things. First of all, Ibrahim alayhi salam, who was an ummah, he was qanit, he was devout, he was وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He was not of the polytheist, he was a hanif, the one who is upright and who turns away from shirk. He is the one who said, O my Lord, protect me and my offspring from the worship of idols, from that we should worship idols. And so if this is the fear of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and, you know, of idol worship, then how about anyone less than him? And likewise, we have the hadith with the same meaning from the hadith from Ma'aqal bin Yasar radiyallahu anhu, who said that I went with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, Ya Abu Bakr, la shirku fikum akhfa min dabim an-naml. O Abu Bakr, shirk among you is more hidden than the, you know, dark, the very small black ant. فقال أبو بكر. Abu Bakr said, وهل الشرك إلا من جعل مع الله إلها آخر. He said, is shirk except making for Allah another deity? In other words, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was surprised to hear that, and he said, is not shirk to make for Allah another deity? Isn't that what shirk is? Isn't shirk only that? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, and he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَشِّرْكُ أَخْفَى مِنْ دَبِيمِ النَّمَلِ. by him in whose hand is my soul, shirk is more hidden than the, you know, dark, very small, crawling ant. And then he said, أَلَا أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِذَا قُلْتَهُ ذَهَبَ عَنْكَ قَلِيلُهُ وَكَثِيرُهُ. Shall I not direct you to something which if you were to say, then the small part of it and the large amount of it, of meaning of shirk, would go away from you, would be away from you. Say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. So you say, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from that I should commit shirk with you whilst I have knowledge, meaning knowingly, and I seek forgiveness from you for that which I do not know, for that which I may fall into unknowingly. So here once again, we see that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who is the best of this ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was taught this dua by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and within it is seeking refuge from Allah in knowingly falling into shirk, and you know, hidden shirk, shirkul asghar, and seeking forgiveness for that which one might fall into without even knowing, without even knowing. And so if this is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu who was taught and who would make this dua, then who feels safe after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Who feels so sure and safe in his in the tawheed and the perfection of his tawheed that he thinks that he now is not in need? He's had a station higher than that of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that he has reached such a station of perfection in his tawheed that he need not fear for himself, and that he need not make the likes of this dua, and that he need not fear falling into minor shirk, and particularly that which he might even be unaware of, right? So this is the hadith of Ma'khal bin Yasar, and likewise the statement or the hadith narrated by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, أَلَا أُخْبِرُكُمْ بِمَا هُوَ أَخْوَفُ عَلَيْكُمْ عِنْدِي مِنَ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ. Shall I not inform you of that which is more feared, I fear more upon you or for you than the false Messiah, than Dajjal, the false Messiah? So they said, Bala, yes, of course. So the Messenger said, Ashirkul Khafi. Ashirkul Khafi. This is now the hidden shirk, the inward hidden shirk. Yakumu Rajul Fayusalli Fayuzayyinu Salatahu Lima Yara Min Nadari Rajulin. It is the hidden, concealed shirk which one of you, a man stands and he performs the prayer, and then he beautifies the prayer on account of, you know, his knowledge that someone is looking at him, right? So he beautifies the worship to please and, you know, other people. So this again is another hadith on minor shirk. In this case, it is ar-riya. Ar-riya is just one of the numerous forms of minor shirk. Ar-riya in this case is showing off and doing deeds to be seen of men, or to be heard of by men, to be spoken of by men. This is just one of the types of minor shirk, and there are many other types as well. Minor shirk can be in feelings, emotions, it can be in statements, and it can also be in actions. So this is, you know, a very dangerous affair. So anyway, this is the first point that we are making today in today's reminder, the fact that the prophets and messengers, the greatest of them, would fear for themselves and their people falling into shirk. And we see likewise from the greatest of the companions from this ummah, they likewise had that same fear. And we also find similarly from the Salaf, likewise, that which is narrated from the Salaf as well. And so from those narrations is that once Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he gave a khutbah to the people, and within that khutbah he said, Ya ayyuhan nas, ittaqu hadha shirk. O people, fear this shirk. فَإِنَّهُ أَخْفَى مِنْ دَبِيبِ النَّمَلِ. For indeed it is more obscure and hidden than the, you know, very small black ant. So when the people heard this, and a number of people, from them Abdullah bin Hazan and Qais bin al-Mudarib, they both stood up and they were surprised at what he said, and they wanted verification of what he said. Meaning, is he saying this from himself? Or, you know, has he got this from the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari responded to them, and he said, I will give you the source of what I said. And then he said, Khatabana Rasulullah Sallallahu, the Messenger of Allah gave us a sermon once, and he said, Ayyuhan nas, ittaqu hadha shirk, fa'innahu akhfa min dabib al-namal. O mankind, O people, fear this shirk, for indeed it is more hidden than a small dark, you know, ant. And then it was said to him, وَكَيْفَ نَتَّقِيهُ. How can we protect ourselves from it, while it is more hidden than a small dark ant? Meaning that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari is narrating this incident which happened with the Messenger of Allah, and then somebody said to him, how can we fear this this shirk? And so the Messenger of Allah, he responded, he said, Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min an nushrika bika shay'an na'lamahu wa nastaghfiruka lima la na'lam. O Allah, indeed we seek refuge in you from that we should commit shirk with you knowingly, and we seek forgiveness from you from that which we do not know, from that which is done unknowingly. Likewise, we also have the Salaf, from Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, and they used to advise their offspring with the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, and to caution them. And so they would say, as Anas radiallahu anhu, he narrated, he said, قَالَ كَانُوا يَكْتُبُونَ فِي صُدُورِ وَسَايَاهِمْ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ هَذَا مَا أُوْسِي بِهِ فُلَانٌ ابْنُ فُلَانٌ يَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ مَنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ. Anas radiallahu anhu said that the people used to write at the beginning of their wasiyyah, meaning of their legacy and their will to their offspring. They would begin, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, this is what I leave as a legacy and a will and an advice to so-and-so, that he testifies that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone, without any partners, and that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. And then he mentioned the verse in Surah Al-Hajj at the beginning, وَأَنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ, that the hour is approaching, there is no doubt about it, and that Allah will raise whoever is in the graves. And likewise, advise whomever they would leave behind of their offspring and their family. They would advise them to أن يتقوا الله, to fear Allah, وَيُصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنَهُمْ, that they would rectify the affairs between them, وَيُطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, that they would obey Allah and His Messenger, in كَانُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ, if they are indeed true believers. And he would also advise them with that which Ibrahim alayhi salam advised his offspring and Ya'qub. He said, Ya Bani, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينِ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O my children, O my offspring, indeed Allah has chosen for you the religion, meaning the religion of Islam. So do not die except whilst you are Muslim. Do not die except whilst you are Muslim. So once again we see here that the Salaf at the point of death would leave as a wasiyyah, or they would write in their will the wasiyyah, that which centers around and focuses upon the affair of Tawheed and not dying except upon Tawheed, which is Islam. And then finally we can finish with just a few examples or illustrations of how the Salaf took this affair seriously. And the first of them is the well-known incident of Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, when he kissed the black stone. And, you know, he said, indeed, I know that you are just merely a stone. Inni a'lamu annaka hajar, la tadur, wa la tanfa. I know that you are just a stone. You neither harm nor do you benefit. And had it not been that I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam kissing you, then I would not have kissed you. And so here we see that Umar bin al-Khattab, when he said this, he raised his voice so that the people around him could hear what he was saying, so that, you know, the people know and understand that he is protecting the affair of Tawheed, and that this action or this gesture does not indicate in any way or any form that this stone is somehow a means, or that it has any kind of inherent power or qualities over benefit and harm, or that even it is somehow a means to that end. Whereas we see, despite this, from Umar bin al-Khattab, we see from the grave worshippers that they do that which is greater with the tombs and the graves and even the dust or the soil that might be in the vicinity of the grave of a pious person. You know, they take it and they put it in their homes, or they might even eat it. They might even eat it and seek cure by way of it, or barakah by way of it, or provision and sustenance by way of it. Right? So all of this we see the people have fallen into the likes of this affair. And Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he wanted to put a door and to close the door to the likes of these things by making clear the nature of his action and his gesture in kissing the black stone. Merely because the Messenger of Allah did it, he did it, and it does not imply, you know, that it has any kind of inherent powers or abilities or, you know, over benefit and harm. So this is one example, the fact that Umar ibn al-Khattab openly made that clarification to that the people would not have any misconceptions or misunderstandings. We also have second example is Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who went home one day and he saw his wife, Zainab, radiallahu anha, that she had a khayt, like something tied to her neck. And he said, what is this thing? And she said, it is something by which, it is like a type of ruqya, like a type of talisman, or, something that protects me. And so he took it and he cut it off, and he said, indeed, the family of Abdullah are free of shirk. They are not in need of shirk. For I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, inna ar-ruqa wat-tamaim wat-tibala shirk. Indeed, these incantations and these talismans and these affairs, they are shirk. And then she explained why she did this. It is because there was some sort of movement in her eye, or some kind of like feeling, like as if it's being poked. And she used to go to a Jewish woman who would make for her these kind of incantations or these talismans. And whenever she would use it, then this prodding or this poking would stop. And Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, indeed it would have been sufficient that you say, just as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to say, أذهب الباس رب الناس اشفي أنت الشافي لا شفاء إلا شفاءك شفاء لا يغادر سقما. So he told her this supplication, which is, remove the harm or the affliction, O Lord of mankind. Heal, for you are the healer. There is no healing or there's no cure except your cure, a cure that does not leave any ailment. So this once again is Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu in his household, admonishing and correcting and making, you know, his wife abandon that which is minor shirk, and instead teaching that which is a replacement for those affairs which are superstitious and have no benefit, instead replacing it with a legitimate means in the Sharia, which is dua, supplication, isti'adha, and ruqya, which is free from any traces of shirk. And finally, the third example is that of Hudhayfa bin al-Yaman radiallahu anhu, and that he entered upon a man and he noticed that he again had something tied to his arm. And he said, what is this? He said, this is something which has been made as a like a talisman or a incantation for me. Within it is a like a ruqya. So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he cut it off and he said, لو مت وهو عليك ما صليت عليك. If you had died while this was upon you, I would not have prayed over you. I would not have prayed janaza prayer over you. So this is just some examples of the Salaf, how they would prohibit the evil and enjoin the good, and put barriers and close off all the doors and avenues to minor shirk. And this follows on from the affair of shirk itself, which the prophets and the messengers feared for themselves. And shirk does not begin, shirk does not happen like overnight. You know, people don't worship idols overnight. It doesn't happen like that. It happens with very, very small things, very small minor things that the people become accustomed to, like, for example, talismans and confusion in the asbab, in the ways and means within Allah's creation, making causes to be causes which are not causes, which Allah has not made to be causes. It starts off with something small, and then over time, you know, maybe over years or decades, you know, then other things enter on top of those initial things. And this is how shirk appears. And for that reason, we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he informed his ummah, he warned his ummah of these affairs, and the companions likewise, when they saw these affairs taking place around them, they immediately put an end to these things. So all of this is a reminder about the greatness and the importance of Tawheed from the angle that the greatest of the messengers of Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salam, they feared it for themselves. And the greatest of this ummah after the messenger, Abu Bakr and others beside him as well. There are narrations from Umar ibn al-Khattab likewise, and likewise we've heard from these narrations from the Sahaba. They likewise, either they feed it for themselves, or when they saw it in other people, they put an end to it. And all of that collectively is another angle which shows to us and illustrates to us the tremendous importance of the affair of Tawheed and closing, cutting off blockading all of those ways and avenues, you know, by which Tawheed is undermined, you know, by minor shirk, first of all, in all of its various forms and types, and that then becoming a stepping stone and a means to then greater things, which eventually lead people to major shirk, and eventually after a while they fall into actual idol worship, you know, making things into idols, like we see people doing so with tombs and mausoleums and things like that, you know, which we can see clearly taking place. All of that doesn't happen overnight. It happens in very, very small steps over long periods of time. So with that, we'll conclude today's reminder. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.